Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf, where the suit could be king. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on today's show. Yes, there is a coaches show tonight. There's a reason for that. We thought we were going to have to leave today to go to Minneapolis. And we did not find out. We were kind of left in limbo till about maybe 11 o'clock this morning. And finally the word came down. We're just sticking to the original itinerary and leaving tomorrow. Okay. Whatever. I always have a theory, and my theory is always very simple. The pilots don't want to die either. So very simple. So we wait. And we'll just go from there. That's fine. So. And there will be a coaches show tonight. If we had to go, we would have had to have postponed it to a different date. Tony Knopp is on today. Naturally, before we get to anything, the Brewers Outlet Daytona 500 weekend specials. Oh, these are beauties, by the way, with the Daytona 500 coming up. And the specials include Shiner 12-pack variety bottles for $9.95, Moosehead 12-pack bottles for $9.95, and, of course, the Pickle Bar, world famous and made even more so by this show. And then there was the suit who had to text me today.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. Maybe that's a good thing.
If you're talking to Tony Knopp today,
oh no,
would you mind asking him about the change for NASCAR with Sprint to Monster? Also, is Racy seeing a tougher time finding sponsorship for F1, IndyCar, and NASCAR as well? I have four words for that. Not on the radar. Is Formula One finding him? Does anybody watch Formula One?
I'll admit, I may on Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday morning Monaco race.
Memorial Day is different.
Oh, it is. Okay? It's on at like different. 7 in the morning. Yeah, I may catch a glimpse of that, if anything. Yeah.
They have done a brilliant job marketing-wise of carving out Memorial Day and making it race day. That's brilliant. This is the Sunday. It should be the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
They have done a great job of making that race day. And I have to give them all the credit in the world for all the marketing. The problem that each one of those pursuits has is as follows. In IndyCar, most people perceive it as the only race. I'm not talking about the race fan. I'm talking about the casual fan. The casual fan is the difference between a great TV rating and a mediocre one. The casual fan is the difference between a great attendance number and a mediocre one. To the casual fan, that's the only IndyCar race, the Indy 500. To the casual fan, Formula One is, I don't know, they go through Monaco, left, right, up, down, sideways. Okay, fine. The NASCAR fan, of which there are fewer and fewer each year, unfortunately. Man, I don't want to see any sport fall back, but there are fewer and fewer fans. they at least have more sustainability with races, where it's not just the Daytona 500. There are people that will go to Talladega. They'll go to Dover. They'll go to Martinsburg. They'll go to Pocono as part of the circuit. They'll go to Watkins Glen. And the suit wants to know about sponsorship for that. Doesn't he realize there's a long list before we even think about that? He is so suit.
Hence the name.
Oh, he's so suit now. Oh, yes. Then he comes into the studio yesterday, and like you and I felt like hostages, and we're just listening. I don't even know what he's talking about. Do you know what he's talking about?
Well, he was just shocked at the amount of soccer talk we did. I mean, he automatically thought...
By the way, Leicester scored but lost.
Yes. 2-1. Yep. At least they're on the board.
Awful.
Shutout in 2017 averted. Yeah, he was just floored at the amount of soccer talk. But I said to him, we pretty much haven't talked football since the first of the year.
We haven't talked much, quote, football, you know, soccer. We've talked no IndyCar and very little Olympics, and the ratings have shot up. All right, so yes. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
We've got a major personnel issue at the station going on right now. Somebody has obviously vacated their post. Not Sean. He's exactly where he should be.
Amen to that.
I'm exactly where I should be.
Yep, you are.
Right? And then there's Captain Suit, okay? Roaming the building, okay? Why don't they put locks on the doors? All right. Really, it's a simple solution, and there's a sale going on at Lowe's. All right. Tony, stop laughing. It's... I can always tell you go radio silent, so you don't want to laugh in the air.
Well, no, he walks in during the commercial break, and of course, did Steve mention my questions for Tony Knopp? It's like, yeah, he did. And then the crickets were chirping.
Right. And again, the four-word response, not on the radar. Tony will be on at 4:06 today. Looking forward to it. My brother today as well, as a matter of fact. We've got that coming up. We have open lines as well. I know you were at the Bucknell basketball luncheon today at La Primavera.
Yes, the final backcourt luncheon of the season, and it was a packed house. So kudos to everybody that showed up to support Bucknell Athletics and Coach Nathan Davis. And the sophomore class was on tap today, spending time with the folks in attendance. And a fantastic time, great food as always, and keeping the forward momentum going this weekend. Where she got Senior Day against Navy. That's a noon tip on Saturday on Eagle 107. And there's actually going to be a pep bus. As soon as the men's game is done on Saturday, there's going to be a pep bus heading to Annapolis Saturday night for the Bucknell women versus Navy. So there is a chance that both the men and women could get the overall number one seed in the Patriot League tournament. Of course, the men have locked that up. Women can do that Saturday night at Navy. So
there you go.
Yes.
Great.
How cool would that be? Two number one seeds on campus. That'd be awesome.
That is awesome, and that's great news. And I guess you were saying that you talked to Doug Birdsong, and Doug said it's amazing how freeing basketball season is for him.
He counts down the days.
Just get to go out there and just be myself.
Yep, sends his best to you, and yep, they're looking forward to, yeah, now that they have officially, you know, locked up the overall number one seed and another regular season Patriot League championship. But got to keep the foot on the gas and keep the momentum going.
For Bucknell, I mean, this is the case for them. It's not the case, obviously, with others. I mean, I'm watching the Dick Vitale show last night. And let's not get too much of what I call the Notre Dame syndrome, which in college basketball is the Duke syndrome, where if you beat Duke, that's enough to put you in the tournament. Remember, it was a few years ago, Seth Greenberg was the coach of Virginia Tech. They had a huge win at Castle Coliseum. They beat Duke. And Dick Vitale's looking at Seth saying, "You're in! You've done it! You're in! You've done it!" Right? And of course, guess what? Virginia Tech didn't get in. Now, Syracuse is over 500 in conference. Huge plus. That is a huge plus. And in the regular season, they will be no worse than 500. They're 9-7 right now with two to play. But they're also 17-12. And you do realize that that bank shot last night, which was fabulous, it was a high-level game, too, snapped a three-game losing streak. Syracuse had not won in 15 days. Let's not act like they're rolling to the finish line here. And they're going to play at Louisville on Sunday. Gee, I've got a sneaking suspicion the one-game winning streak is over. Just let it play out. Don't put teams in the tournament. You have no business, but you're not in the committee. You have no business putting teams in the tournament. They banked it in. Did it help them? Yeah, it didn't hurt them. But they're not exactly a steamroll down the stretch. They lost. That snapped a three-game losing streak. I'm sitting in a committee room. I'm looking at a team that's lost. Say they lose to Louisville. That means they've lost four of their last five. I'm sitting there looking around saying, I think we ought to put them in. That's exactly what we need. Got to do a little bit better than that. Now, conversely, Penn State, the team they're facing, Minnesota, that's exactly what you're looking at. They've won six in a row, and they won at Maryland last night. And they didn't just win at Maryland last night. They were flat out impressive at Maryland last night, winning 89-75. Game was, what, 61-60? And all of a sudden, boom, like that, they went on a run. And it is atypical of a Minnesota basketball team to do this. And I'll tell you why it's atypical. Over the years, with the exception of the Final Four team in 97 that Minnesota has, and they had to vacate that because of there's a variety of reasons. One of them was the accusation that papers have been written for the players, the Jan Gengelhoff accusation. Except for the 97 team, for the most part, Minnesota basketball has always thrived at Williams Arena and has always been a disappointment on the road. That if they were to win three road games in the conference, it was a huge deal. That normally they win one or two road games in the conference a year. That's typical of Minnesota basketball. Last night was their fifth conference road win of the season. It's impressive. Very impressive. And they deserve, and Richard Pitino deserves a lot of credit for that. He's got a good team. He's got a couple of transfers that have stepped up and played big for them. Reggie Lynch, Akeem Springs. And that's what you're looking at as a team flying down the stretch, one that's won six in a row and goes to Maryland and wins, not one that had a three-game losing streak snap, but fortunately had Dick Vitale on hand, you know, rooting on to the entire world they should be in the tournament. That's enough. I mean, it's not enough. It's not enough. They got more work to do. I mean, what if they lose their last two to Louisville and Georgia Tech? And Georgia Tech would be at home. What if they do? It's not out of the realm of possibility. Do you still put them in? I don't know. This is a year of good teams. It is not a year of great teams. And even Villanova last night finally lost at home. They end up getting swept by Butler. And Butler ran off 11 unanswered points. Dick was at the game last night, so when I see Dick tomorrow, I'm going to talk to him a little bit about. And he didn't cover it. Dick just went to the game to go to the game because he wanted to actually see Butler. It wasn't just Villanova. He wanted to get a look at Butler in person. So that's what happened. Now the Ole Miss situation. The Ole Miss football, they've already taken themselves out of a bowl game. But this is a very interesting situation because if you look at the allegations against Ole Miss football, one assumes that Laramie Tunsil is a reason for what we're seeing. And he's not mentioned in here at all. That's what a lot of people find interesting. And one thing that you're seeing with Hugh Freeze is that Hugh Freeze is being absolutely defiant about the allegations against Ole Miss football. Defiant. And for the SEC, my understanding is the way this has played out is that normally, I believe the SEC internally does not want other SEC schools turning in other SEC schools. Evidently, it happened in this case. They put together a 21-minute video on YouTube that included the chancellor, the athletic director, and Hugh Freeze reacting to the allegations. And Freeze has said in the past that this four-year investigation has been by like a four-year colonoscopy. That's what he said, his words. Here's what we know about Ole Miss football at the moment. They're putting a lot of blame on former assistant Chris Vaughn, Ole Miss is. They're trying to insulate Hugh Freeze. But remember, under the new guidelines, he might get suspended. About $20,000 in cash, merchandise, food, and drinks allegedly changed hands between Ole Miss supporters and recruits. Laramie Tunsil's draft night bombshell that he claimed to have taken money from an assistant is not included in the allegations. Lack of institutional control, which is always the easy fallback for the NCAA, and failure to monitor are the biggest charges. Not good, but it's also for the NCAA an easy out. Always has been.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $242 per month. This is not a lease payment. $242 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with a Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $242 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 72 months to qualify buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I was checking over the nominations for the Oscars. Where's Best Car Chase? Am I missing something? Time now for this day in sports history. 1894, Ottawa refused to travel to Toronto to play in the first Stanley Cup game. So the cup was awarded to the Montreal Athletic Club. Figures. 1957, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the NFL operations did fall within the coverage of antitrust laws.
1968, Wilt Chamberlain of the 76ers became the first player to score 25,000 points in a career. This was a landmark day in football. In 1983, Herschel Walker signed a $5 million three-year contract with the USFL's New Jersey Generals. What made it landmark was this. Walker had just finished his junior season. But until then, you had to graduate to be a pro. Well, the USFL didn't have that rule. 1991, North Carolina became the first NCAA team to win 1,500 games. 1999, Garth Brooks attended spring training with the San Diego Padres, shockingly, as a non-roster player. Padres Foundation agreed to contribute to the Touch 'Em All Foundation in lieu of a salary to Garth Brooks. And in 2000, Robbie Knievel made a successful motorcycle jump of 200 feet over an oncoming train. Yay. That's, no offense, I think that's scary. All right, there is a coach's show tonight with Patrick Chambers and also softball coach Amanda Lahotek. Like the softball coach, huh? Well, they just beat Georgia Tech twice and beat Virginia Tech twice. Had a huge weekend. All right, let's get back very quickly to Ole Miss. This is a huge problem for Ole Miss, and it's a huge problem for Hugh Freeze, the coach. Now, what Ole Miss has done is they've tried to shift everything toward former assistant Chris Vaughn, saying he's the issue. Okay, and very well may be the case. I don't know. Or maybe something that's an easy out. Above all, between the chancellor, the athletic director, and others, it is obvious that Ole Miss has built a wall around Hugh Freeze. Now, keep in mind that if they find cause, expect Hugh Freeze to be suspended. Just like Jim Calhoun was suspended, just like Jim Boeheim was suspended. Expect that to happen. Now, it hasn't happened in football, but if they find cause, expect him to be suspended. Not fired, but suspended. They say approximately $20,000 in cash, merchandise, food, and drinks allegedly changed hands between Ole Miss supporters and recruits. Obviously, that's not very good. Interesting, Laramie Tunsil. Remember on draft night that bombshell where he claimed that he took money from an assistant? Guess what? It's not included in the allegations. Okay. The old fallback for the NCAA, whenever they're just guessing, is when they throw in the infamous lack of institutional control and failure to monitor. That's always their fallback. And, of course, we all know that's never good. And let's face it, Ole Miss is sitting there being defiant because they don't know what the NCAA is eventually going to do. So, the school has self-imposed a one-year bowl ban in 2017. So they're not going this year. That means they forfeit the money for it as well. They're also losing 11 scholarships over 4 years. There's a six-figure fine and other self-imposed penalties. The question is that enough? And we'll have to see. Now, there originally were 13 allegations. There are now 21. And what Ole Miss is fighting above all is that Hugh Freeze violated head coach responsibility legislation. That's a level one violation. And if that holds up, Freeze does face the possibility of a suspension for, believe it or not, up to a year.
The school says they're going to fight that one vigorously. Freeze did say on this video that the core value of Ole Miss football is love. There's another four-letter word that goes in there as well. Maybe it also means cash. We don't know. The allegations were not good. So I don't... Now, let's see what the facts bring with it. I'll give you a good example of facts. The problem you have, as always, is perception. It is not about facts. Usually in either the court of law or a court of opinion, it's not the truth that sets you free. It is what is perceived to be the truth. I think we know that. What's the perception of it, not the fact of it? So, and I'll give you an example. Let's take something that's outside of Penn State. Because in reality, Penn State didn't commit any NCAA violations. But we'll go with something that people have found amusing, but still ended up being serious. Rick Neuheisel and the $20,000 NCAA tournament bracket. Now, you do realize that in the end, in fact, you won't realize it. Okay? But I'm about to say something that people, I'm not sure, do realize. Rick Neuheisel was exonerated. On that. And one of the reasons he was exonerated is that before he entered into this pool, he cleared it with compliance. In other words, he wasn't going to do it unless compliance told him it was okay to do it. And it ended up costing him. Yeah, you know, he first denied the allegations to investigators. That didn't help. Then he admitted to it after that. It became obviously a big sensation. We all know that. And the NCAA Infractions Committee said that he violated NCAA rules against gambling but did not sanction him, citing a memo by Washington's then compliance officer, Dana Richardson, who identified that type of action as being permissible as an exception to NCAA gambling sanctions. The NCAA then violated its own rules by questioning him about it. Again, the perception was that he did all this. Well, guess what? He didn't. He checked first and got the answer, and then he got involved in it. Okay. Well, eventually, he sued. And the NCAA had acted improperly in the investigation, which eventually led to his firing. And the NCAA and the University of Washington then requested to settle the case before it went to a jury because they knew they were going to lose. And Neuheisel ended up winning $4.5 million. But again, what has always been the perception? The perception has always been, oh, he's in that gambling pool, they fired him over it, the whole thing, blah, 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 he lied. Guess what? He took the time to call compliance, say, am I allowed to do this? They looked at it and go, yeah, you can. So he did. So it's not as simple as everybody thinks it is, but the perception, I mean, I'm going to guess, Sean, that what I just told you, you had not heard before.
Yeah, I remember the whole Neuheisel, you know, bracket
right.
deal. Yeah,
right,
but
right,
yeah,
right.
The you peeling the extra layers of the onion. Yeah, that I completely forgot about the $4.5 million that he won.
Wow. Well, I mean, a lot of people don't realize he was exonerated. Okay, exonerated. And
come to think of it, that black eye did not last with him too long.
I mean, he was out of college coaching for 6 years, you know. Actually, he's out of college coaching 5 years, I should say. 5 years it cost him as a college coach. Now, he's broadcasting, and not only is he broadcasting, he's a really good broadcaster. He actually is really good at his job. He is one of those guys that, and there aren't many guys that fall into this category for me, but I enjoy listening to him because I feel like when the broadcast is over with, I learn more about something. And it's a wide variety of areas, but learn more about him, about something. But I think people hear the name Rick Neuheisel. The first thing they think of is the NCAA tournament bracket, the $20,000, and getting fired over. They don't realize that he took the time to talk to compliance. They gave him the answer. He took the answer and ran with that as, okay, I'm okay, and did it and had some fun with it. And then both the NCAA and Washington ended up getting sued by him over the termination of his contract. Now, of course, it was also revealed the NCAA had failed to turn over certain crucial evidence to Neuheisel's attorneys. I know you're shocked by this. I know you're shocked that they would do that. Once again, the disconnect between floors in Indianapolis is dramatic. Dramatic. There's a big disconnect between the floors there. I can tell you, I've had enough people that have worked there that have told me how much people really care about student-athletes, about the NCAA and so forth, and that there's a disconnect between floors and upper management. Now, what the details of that are, I don't know what that means, but I'm just telling you what I've been told by somebody who works there. But that's, now we'll bring it back to Hugh Freeze. Let's see how it plays out. I would like to know what's actually factually true and separate that from rumor and innuendo. But that's always going to be the problem no matter what. Perception and what sticks in today's society is always going to outweigh what may end up being the truth, which could be completely different than the perception. That's why I try to give the benefit of the doubt wherever I can, with one notable exception. And you know what that is, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Suit. All right, Tony Knopp, next half hour. Again, received a dramatic text from the suit this morning. And it read as follows. Would you mind asking Tony about the change for NASCAR from sprint to monster, and also see if racing has a tougher time finding sponsorship for F1, IndyCar, and NASCAR as well. I can answer that myself. Yes. Segment's over on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tony Knott, next half hour, there'll be no racing questions. We've decided to do a meaningful segment that, he's sitting in the back room. He's all mad now, I can tell. You can tell. Claudio Ranieri, he's out. Leicester City, gone. Figured they scored a goal, he'd be happy. But Claudio's out at Leicester City. Done. Then there's this note. Penn State Director of Athletics Sandy Barber announced today that women's gymnastics coach Jeff Thompson has been relieved of his duties effective immediately. He was in his seventh season as the head coach of the Nittany Lion women's gymnastics team. Assistant coaches Kara Molinaro and Josh Nielsen will serve as interim co-head coaches for the remainder of the season, and a national search for a new head coach will begin immediately. So Jeff Thompson has been relieved of duties at Penn State in women's gymnastics. So we thought we'd pass along those two to you. Let's see. Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson and the second round pick go from the Bulls to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they get three players that won't change the balance of power in the league. The Mavericks got Nerlens Noel from the Sixers for Andrew Bogut. There is some question as to how long Bogut stays in Philadelphia. Noel was averaging 9 points, 5 boards a game in 29 games this season. Only 22 years of age. Dirk Nowitzki referred to him as a rim protector. He is correct about that. He is that. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone. What will ESPN talk about now? And it was great to see the Bucknell luncheon today at La Primavera have a full house. The Patriot League champions deserve it. Tony Knopp, next half hour. It's going to feel like it goes by in 5 minutes. My brother, final half hour. I don't feel like he goes in 5 minutes as well. Great to have Sean Carey on board today, as always. Great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Same as always, my friend.
Next half hour, Tony Knopp. It's been a good week between Mike DeCourcy and Joe Lenardi. Now Tony Knopp. That's next. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. And on WKOK.com.